ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर वर्ड 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ। श्री युधिष्ठिर उवाच गृहस्थेतां पदवीं विदीनयेन चाञ्जसा या यद्देवर्षे ब्रूहि मादृशो गृहमूढधी। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthir inquired from Narada Muni, "O my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas." Purport. In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmachari, a vanaprastha and a sannyasi should act. He first explained the dealings of a brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, because these three ashramas or statuses of life are extremely important for fulfillment of the goal of life. One should note that in the brahmachari ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama and sannyas ashrama, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex is allowed in grahastha life under regulations. And Narada Muni therefore first described brahmacharya, vanaprastha and sannyasa because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary. Although one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter grahastha life or household life, which is also regulated by the shastras and guru. Yudhishthir Maharaj could understand all this. Therefore, as a grahastha, he presented himself as griha mudadhi, one who is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goal, is not very much advanced in intelligence. As soon as possible, one should give up his so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Tapo Divyam Putraka. According to the instructions given by Rishabhdev to his sons, we should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must prepare to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually live to fulfill life's ultimate goal. Maha Great Sage, kindly explain how who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is the beginning of new chapter titled Ideal Family Life. So Maharaj Yudhishthir is inquiring from Narada Muni. So in the previous chapter we heard how Prahlad Maharaj, how he inquired, and that too from a person who would otherwise easily get unnoticed. It said that it takes one to know one. So Prahlad Maharaj had the vision to see that who is this person and what he has to offer. So he became very submissive and he heard. And here Maharaj Yudhishthir also is becoming very submissive. But we should not forget that who is Maharaj Yudhishthir. In Brihad Bhagavatam, that narration where it goes on, when Narada Muni is meeting different people, how everyone is glorifying the other person, saying, "He is the one who is better than me." So when Prahlad Maharaj is met, of course, Prahlad Maharaj says that, "Hanuman, you go to Hanuman, So when Narada Muni goes to Hanuman, so it's Hanuman, you are the one who have received mercy. You are the greatest. So Hanuman becomes very sober, you know. So please don't say that. If I am the one who has received mercy, why is my Lord who has left me here and taken all his associates back? And he talks about himself that I am just a sevaka. But you look at the Pandavas. The Lord is becoming their sevaka. He is becoming their messenger. He is becoming chariot driver. He is always with them. Whenever there are difficulties with them. Not only that, he fought against Bhishma. He broke his own vow. And during the Rajasuya Yajna, he was washing the feet of the guests. And what to speak about? Even Maharaj Yudhishthira himself, when he is going for bath, when those kings, when they used to go for bath, it's a big procession those days. The Yudhishthira will go on his palanquin. And many of his close servants and all, they will go fanning and all. And one of them will be Lord Krishna. He will be walking behind. And this is Lord Maharaj Yudhishthira. Now just think about Maharaj Yudhishthira. This is his status and what is his mood? When he is coming in front of Narada Muni, he is asking that how people like us, Yudhishthira is saying Griha Mudadi, completely ignorant of the goal of life. This is to come in front of a spiritual master in this mood. I am a fool. It's not so easy. We may say that, well, I am a fool. But right from that heart that say that I am a fool is something far out. So, but here, Yudhishthira Maharaj, definitely he feels like that. Even though he is such an exalted soul, but he is asking here, please explain, those who are staying at home without the knowledge of the goal of life, can also they attain liberation? How? What is there in instructions? And what does the Veda say? Can you please tell us? So unless this type of submissiveness is there, of course we have been hearing so much about submissiveness. Bhagavad Gita itself it is said that if we have to know the truth, you have to be very submissive. Krishna is saying that. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnaninam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Tattvadarshina means one who knows truth. One who has seen truth, one who can see truth constantly. It is not that he can see truth sometimes. But how do you approach him? Submissively. So what does submissively mean? Submissively means I am a fool. I don't know anything. Please instruct me. Please tell me. But it is not so easy. Why is it not so easy? Because of our own attachment to some things like maybe education, maybe some opulence, maybe wealth, maybe some type of some talent, skills, I know better. So it is very difficult to be submissive. Not only that, even if some people want to be, they want to take, but then because they are ignorant about it, they don't know what to take instructions from. When Prabhupada would be traveling, and sometimes it so happened once. There are two different incidents. One time, of course, in India, this is a national pastime, tradition, that, you know, any sadhu you see, you go and ask, Ashirvad, please, your blessings. They have some respect for a sadhu, but what to ask? Ashirvad. So Prabhupada once said that, you want really Ashirvad? Okay, my blessing is that your material life gets finished. It's so scary, my God. Material life gets finished means, what will I do without material life? And once when Prabhupada was traveling in the train with his disciples, Western disciples, again some group of people came. They came to know that sadhu is there in one of the other bogi. They all came and fell down at his feet and, please bless us, Swamiji. Please bless us. Ashirvad, Ashirvad. So Prabhupada looked at, you want Ashirvad? Okay. You can see these disciples of mine, Western disciples, are clean shaved and, you know, saffron. I bless you that you become like them. Immediately they ran away from there. No, this is not Ashirvad. So of course, you don't know, of course, that may be some type of a submissiveness, but then don't know what to ask for, because attachment to material enjoyment is so strong that to even think about that, you know, how can you live? In the early days when, you know, we say that, no, you don't watch movies. My God, how can you live without watching movies, you know? Can you live without watching movies? So this type of attachment is there, so it's very difficult. So that is how many times you don't preach that in the beginning, right? It's very difficult. People may run away. So, but same time, of course, it is not just that ignorance, but also that trust is not there. Where do you trust? How can you be submissive to a person whom you don't trust? And where this mistrust and loss of trust arise from? Of course, this also has come from the higher varnas, I mean, ashramas. Because in the, if you see in the history, that these are the people, the so-called brahmanas, who are the one who should be giving direction, should be guiding people, should be helping people. And when people commit some sinful activities, should be helping them. But when they started using their position to exploit people because of their own selfish interest, so when people would come that, please, you know, what to do? So they would say that, well, this is it, then you should be paying so much, this, prayaschitha, this, and all. And they would do that. But at the same time, they would watch that these people also indulging the same type of sinful desire. I go and confess, but then I see that he's also indulging it. No trust. It's like a few days back I was hearing Christianity actually was very bona fide. Just main Catholic religion was going on. Now there are thousands of denominations. The root cause is same. In the beginning, confession, they would go and confess, but then the same people would see that the person who is supposed to be an ideal person, he himself is indulging in all those sinful activities. So how can anyone trust? How can anyone, when in the future someone comes and says, you should be submissive, you should accept? No, I will have my own way of following. I believe it. But don't ask me to be submissive to anyone. So this is what has gone. So, but in our Shastra, it is very clearly said, the Lord, when he descends as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself, when he met Prakashananda Saraswati and all his followers, so he said that my Guru Maharaj said that I am a fool. And he was so happy to know that, you know, my Guru Maharaj said I am a fool, and it is something to be cherished of. He said, so unless that submissiveness is there, this transcendental knowledge, it's very difficult to be imbibed. I just remember one incident when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was in one of the very prominent hospital here, and I happened to be there, and one of the most well-known expert physician, so he was talking to him. Obviously, he knows that he's a sadhu. But this person is so much this about, this person has come for treatment, and I am a physician, and I'm an expert physician, I'm well known people. So the way he was talking, he was preaching Maharaj. He was talking about the history of Zoroastrianism, because he was a Parsi. And how he was talking, he was putting his hand on Maharaj's shoulder like this. And he was telling him that, I will tell you, this is it. So when I was reading this, I understand where there is a chance for this knowledge to be imbibed. Even if he speaks, will he accept it? Will it go into his heart? Will it appeal to him? obviously that person is still there in material consciousness. Because he had an opportunity, he had a person who is Tattva Darshina. If he was humble to ask, what is the goal of life? It is said that, what is the goal of life? And the person who is staying at home is completely ignorant about the goal of life. And these are the people who come and show him. He never asked. So he's still there. And those who are submissive, those who accepted, their life changed. Their consciousness changed. So this is in short about Maharaj Yudhisthira becoming very submissive to teachers. So Prahlad Maharaj and Yudhisthira Maharaj and many other personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about that, how they become very submissive. So how, what degree we should be submissive, my God. When people of this status, when they are at the end, they become submissive. So what is the scope of to be submissive in front of spiritual master? So these are main things which stops us to become submissive. And material attachment is so strong that even someone says that you have to give up this, it becomes very scary. But another issue in this verse, we could see that grahastha life, how grahastha life is related to other ashrams. Grahastha life means family life. But it is not just husband, wife and children and job and furniture and bank balance and social life. And it's not, that is not a grahastha life. Grahastha life means it has a lot of significance and same time lot of responsibilities. So much responsibilities that itself is also scary. If anyone hears about the responsibilities, that you will come in another few pages, you will hear about that, how you should earn your livelihood and how you should be equal to, how you should be taking care of even animals, how to have that type of vision. But to cut short, that in relationship with these three ashramas, where there is Brahmacharya ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyas ashram, there is a Grahastha ashram. But all of the three ashrams, the degree of renunciation is so high. But it's a very nice statement that without these three ashramas, there is no question of any type of a progress in grahastha ashram. So grahastha ashram cannot exist independently if it is serious about its spiritual life. There has to be Brahmacharya ashram, there has to be in a society, there has to be Vanaprastha also to show future direction. But grahastha life definitely is a life of entanglement, no doubt about it. Because there are so many responsibilities and duties involved, and also little liberty for sense gratification. That can stretch to that extent that person becomes completely entangled in this and he loses the focus of life. What is the purpose? Unless someone comes and wakes him up. What I no time at all. So busy and is completely convinced that what he is doing is the best he can do in life. And there is nothing else to do. So grahastha life definitely is a life entanglement, but same time here Maharaj Yudhisthira is asking that, is there a possibility? No. So of course Narada Muni is giving lot of hopes and encouragement. Yes, you can. So grahastha ashram is one ashram. When it serves other three ashramas, what do you mean by serving the other three ashramas? Same thing is, hearing from them, serving them. In what way serving? There are main three things how we can serve. One is becoming submissive, the most important thing. Second is maintenance. Usually these are the ashramas, they don't care for making a living. They don't think about, you know, how can I live my life. So if their life has to be anxiety free, it is a grahastha ashram which should take care. Okay, we will see that you are anxiety free. So you continue your path of renunciation. And there is one more role that they also want to protect them. Not that protect from what elements to protect them. Protect them that should not be unnecessary obstacle or especially some distractions. So this way when he is serving them, in return what happens? All the three ashramas, they are showering blessing on Grahastha's. Take this. And this way the Grahastha ashram also makes progress. So this is the only connection. Unless in the society this relationship is there, then there is no scope for it. But Prabhupada went to the Western world. Obviously there was no chance about anyone being submissive. What to speak about seva? You remember that Prabhupada, when he went for a year, more than a year, he was the one who used to buy vegetables, he used to cook, he used to serve, he used to clean the plate, he used to... And no one ever bothered to come and ask Prabhupada, who helps you? After 1 year, someone said, who does the cleaning? So Prabhupada said, well... And Prabhupada said, I was waiting that someone will ask. And that is the day they started doing some seva. So that was the state of people whom he started. Just imagine. No question about submissive. What question about questions they may be asking, but there was no mood of it. So it is said that Prabhupada had that courage. There's a saying in English, Prabhupada himself says that a preacher should have the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. So Prabhupada was enacting the role of a Bengali mother. Just serving them. And when the time came, of course, he started instructing them. And obviously he had the courage. Prabhupada himself said that if US government knew that what I am going to preach here, they would have killed me. It's a fact. What to speak about US government? In Bombay itself, it had happened that once the police, they came to Radha Ras Bihari and they were doing all type of, you know, harassment and all. So then one inspector, he asked that, you know that why we are harassing you? So I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj or someone. So he said, because you are suspecting we are CIA agents? No, you are not CIA agents. So maybe because we are foreigners, there are so many foreigners in Holiday Inn and all there. There are so many foreigners, why we should come in? You don't want to know the truth? Because what you are preaching, these four regulative principles, the government is not going to appreciate this. So that's why we are arresting. So even in our own place, there was so much. But same time we hear someone who is like Maharaj Parikshit, who was so submissive. He was taking instructions. He was living a life. He could challenge the influence of Kali. Can anyone think about challenging the influence of Kali in this day? Once it so happened, the US president, I think it was Carter, I don't remember his name, but he was quite a little sattvic person. So he, when he was president, so he attended one function which was promoting vegetarianism. Because he attended, he got a call next day. From whom he got a call? All these cattle ranch holders, you know, the one who kill, McDonald's and all these people, the owners of these people, they made him a call. Do you want any support from us in your future, you know, election and thing? Forget it. If you attend, forget about promoting. Even if you attend a meeting where there is vegetarianism promoted. So this is the power of Kali Yuga's power is so strong that an ordinary person would not be able to. Like Devamrit Swami Maharaj here, he was speaking, he said that even the pharmaceutical industry, they come out with some research and they come out with some real genuine result that this drug is toxic. This should not be released in the market. And then the pharmaceutical owners, they will come to him with such a big offer that he can't resist. And then he has to just manipulate the report and release it. Just imagine how powerful it is. And here Maharaj Parikshit, because he had that power. Kali was trembling in front of him. He's asking that, please give me some shelter. I'm in your kingdom. Where can I stay? And Maharaj Parikshit decided, okay, I will decide where you can stay. So this is what happens when that type of a correlation is there. But as Kali Yuga progresses, there is obviously no question about any recognition to the renounce order. They're not respected. They're not valued. So the result is there is chaos, a mess all around. So that is why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if there is anything lacking in this world, it is only lack of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Because if that is there, the whole problem is solved. This is how the science, when we see, we talk about so many problems going on, but is there a science where, you know, you sit and you hear and you practice, and this is what happens. So those days, Vedic days, kings would respect the person who had renounced order so much that they will come, they would offer their throne. Maharaj Dasharath, when Vishwamitra will come, he said, Maharaj, please come and sit. This is your kingdom. And he'll wash his feet. And then he'll ask some mystery. And he'll ask him, he'll not ask for some blessings, for some material comforts. He'll ask him that, how is your spiritual progress going on? Is there any problem? Is there anything bothering you? Can I serve you anyway? This is Maharaj Dasharath, I mean, the emperor. He had so much power, so much wealth, so much opulence. So when that respect is not there, everything goes away. But those days, even the brahmanas who were there, they were also very powerful. Not the brahmanas like now. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it says about King Vena. Vena was so cruel, he said that, why should you worship God? He said that, I am the representative of God. All the demigods, they reside in me. So he told the brahmanas that, stop everything and worship me. This was his intoxicated state because of his power. Other extreme. But then, the brahmanas are so powerful, just by chanting some mantras, they could... Where are those brahmanas now? Why would anyone be really powerful, scared of? So this is Vedic tradition where Grahastha ashram, which otherwise is an ashram of entanglement, definitely taking us away from the goal of life, but then in association of devotees, hearing regularly, there is a hope that that ashram also makes progress. So this is what was the desire of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very much... Prabhupada also spoke that, yes, very difficult. Prasash, very difficult. So once Prabhupada said, in a room he said, all the women should get married and all the men should remain brahmacharis. So Prabhupada, how is this possible? Well, no, you try to figure it out. How it will. So I was hearing from one Prabhupada's disciple. He said that what Prabhupada meant was, even those who become grahasthas, they should be living a life of tapasya. As it is said here, tapo divyam putrak, according to the instructions given by Rishabhdev to his sons, grahastha ashram is also a life of austerity. It's not a life of very nice to live in the comfort zone, but austerity has to be voluntarily accepted, because this is also an ashram, and in that ashram, ultimately, to take shelter, there has to be an austerity, has to be accepted. And of course, Prabhupada also was to talk about the spirit of grahastha ashram. Once one just got married, and he asked Prabhupada, now I am a grahastha, so please tell me, what are my duties? So Prabhupada said, well, before you take meals, you go out of your house and call out, is there anyone hungry? So Prabhupada, yeah, that is all right, Prabhupada. Now, grahastha life, how should I live, what about my, rules and, regulations? So before you take meal, you go out and just call out, is there anyone hungry? Loudly, 3 times. And if there is no one, then you come and then you take. 3rd time is said, this is something. Imagine Prabhupada saying, so the essence is, Grihastha ashram, well, lot of comfort, social life, nice things. But if you start hearing the essence is Grihastha is the one who provides shelters. You should do that. In a city like Bombay, can you do that like this? Even if you do that, you will open the door and softly say and immediately close the door and come. Because the chances are people will line up. But anyway, the essence is that Grihastha ashram is the ashram of life of, you know, charity, giving, distribution, sharing. And this is how... So this is just one little thing about there are so many things if you go on talking. Anyway, but Prabhupada was very merciful, very compassionate, very kind. We all know it. So his whole idea of settling up all these temples all over the world was only for one reason. No matter who is the person, he may be very sinful. He may be completely ignorant, graha, medhi, whatever in... He is getting a chance to come in contact with devotees. And he hears. And when he hears, his life will get transformed. This is what Prabhupada. And there are temples all over the world now. So this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, unless we are submissive, it doesn't get transmitted. As Govind Prabhu was saying that day, very nice, I'm a very appealing point I like. He was giving class in Bhaktivedanta Hospital on Nectar of Devotion. He said one thing very inspiring. He said, what is giving transcendental knowledge? He said, giving transcendental knowledge means giving your feelings. So now, where you're hearing from, that becomes very important. A person who has got love for Krishna, when he is speaking, those words are soaked with his feelings. And the one who is hearing it submissively, he is also getting those feelings. Is there any chance of getting those feelings otherwise? Is there any chance of, you know, those feelings? So it's so powerful, so potent these words are. So when it is spoken, and the feelings also are going, and the one who is hearing, his heart is getting purified. That is what his temple meant for. That is what Prabhupada wanted. That, well, anyone, let him be. He knows there is no hope otherwise, no scope. Let them come. Let them hear. And these feelings are. Of course, same thing goes when if you are hearing from the wrong source. Someone who is a professional, who is also speaking, what are his feelings? He is also speaking Ramayana, he is speaking Bhagavad Katha. Then he is also speaking. And if anyone is submissively hearing, oh, submissive. I want to hear. What will happen? The same feelings also are coming. And if he is a Mayavadi, then Mayavad feelings will come in the heart. If it is for material desires, that feeling will come. So we see all Bhagavad Kathas going on, sometimes 7 days, and people... Now in the north, if you see family members are sitting together, they open the tiffin and they are eating and they are hearing katha, and sometimes they are crying and there are tears in their eyes. Oh, so nice, what Ram's love for Lakshman and Bharat and Sita's sacrifice, and so much. Once the katha is over, they just pack up the tiffin nicely, then back, and no change. Why? No change. Because there was no proper transmission of transcendental knowledge. There's not. And same thing here. Prabhupada went to the Western world. There was no submissiveness. There is no seva. That feeling said Prabhupada. And with that compassion when he spoke. That is why many of his disciples were shocked. Prabhupada, how is it? What qualification we had? How is it that, you know, we are able to understand all this, you know, intimacy of Radha and Krishna? Prabhupada said, I made your qualification. Obviously, you know, it's not out of some, you know, pride, because it is parampara coming down. And so we conclude by saying that Prabhupada, that is why, wanted first class brahmanas. That was his, he said, my first thing is to set up first class brahmanas in the society. And first class brahmanas, preferably, you remain brahmachari for the rest of their life. So carry on, Prabhu. Arivo. So you carry on, and then Grihastha ashram will also follow. This is Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Just one point, I just remember. Just one point. And before This is also very interesting. Sometimes, of course, this happened between a conversation between one grihastha and a brahmachari. This grihastha was a very responsible man, had a big, you know, job and this and family life, responsible this. And brahmachari, you know, brahmachari, he has nothing. He is just only Krishna, he has. He has nothing. So this person said, well, you are preaching me, telling me that, you know, you should spend time and you should come to the temple and preach it. That is for you, because you have no responsibility. What do you have? You know my time. I have this business, I have this house, I have my family, my grandchildren, education, this. How can I do this? Impossible. So this brahmachari gave such a nice answer. Yes, you can also do it. So he gave a very nice example how we can do it. Of course, this is an analog example for us to understand. He said that a woman, especially a housewife, just take it this as an analogy, example to understand, that she is with her husband, but she has a paramour. You know who's a paramour? Paramour means she has someone else, she loves someone. So in her mind, she is always thinking of him. But when she's working at home, she is so meticulous, so perfect. Everything she does it so nicely that the husband doesn't suspect at all. But whenever she gets a chance, she runs to meet him. Now you just think from this analogy. That means there are responsibilities, there are duties, there are commitments. But a person who has Krishna conscious, his consciousness is, so he'll do all his activities properly. But mind is somewhere else. So just like we are here in this Prakriti, we are bound, we are attached, we are sometimes enjoying, very difficult to give up. But it becomes Krishna conscious, our consciousness becomes, and then all those activities are also for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is what was Prabhupada wanted, that all set of the society, whether he is a renounce order or grihastha, they accept this philosophy, they practice it, and they fulfill the responsibility in the society, and they are also making progress. And this way, whole society makes progress. Prabhupada once said that in the history, we will be known as savior of the world. It may sound a very profound statement, but that is what Prabhupada, the temple is there, and everyone has a chance. Isn't it a very amazing thing to happen in human life that, you know, someone is making progress in that direction? Such a rare thing. And what to speak about rare, to be in contact with devotees is such a rare. Otherwise, devotees are not found in the cities. They will be in Himalaya, somewhere in the cave meditating and doing their sadhana and, you know, isolated completely. And to be available in a city, in a temple, it's a great fortune. So, some type of understanding to value so that we also can make progress. Is going through anything? Sorry, I just extended my time. Is there any question related to today's subject? I'm sure you all have many more comments and corrections.
Hare Krishna. These days the material existence or materialism is proposed so much that the younger generations are attracted towards those material objects. So what is the process, or how can we be free from those material attractions, especially for younger generations?
Is not only for younger generation. The Shastra says there, Kalir Dosha Nidhe Rajan. That means in Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. So just imagine, ocean. So all around you are surrounded by things which will only take you in the wrong direction. So youth, of course, yes, because they are the one who have very strong energy, senses, lot of life to live for. So if at that stage, if they are not guided, definitely full-fledged, they will go into the wrong direction. So the answer to this question is, of course, education, education, education. What education? Not mundane education. Mundane education, Prabhupada said, they are like slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses. I mean, so it may sound slaughterhouses. Yes, slaughterhouses, because they kill every, even little samskaras if the child had in the early days by his parents. Those propensity, some inclination that God exists, to serve God, is all killed. So that is why it is said slaughterhouse. So that is why there has to be an education. And ISKCON is one organization which is a preaching movement, which is doing colleges, schools, private institutes, programs, educating people. But then you should not forget that government is not in favor. Always there will be opposition. These type of subjects, they will not allow you to introduce. Is the present education system responsible for that? Yes. Present education system is talking only about how you can score good marks, get good job and earn money, and how to live a comfortable life. Right? Isn't it? It is only talking about that. It is not talking about any character. Does anyone care for any character? No character. So yes, present education is responsible. And it's a big challenge but how many of them are going to accept it? Very scary. Isn't it very scary for anyone to say that, you know, you should give up this? It's scary because so much attachment to material. When you come to Krishna consciousness, that life becomes scary. You think about, oh my God, I was saved. What I would have been? What I would have been doing now? So that is the difference. So yes, modern education is responsible. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.